Hey, my name's Craig, as Ruth said, and I'm on the oversight. It's my wife and I, Jackie, it's our privilege to be on the oversight team. So I'm really just looking forward to sharing just something briefly with you this morning. And I was sort of thinking about something that I've really enjoyed in the past. I've really enjoyed going on an aeroplane. Someone else does too. Good on you, Chris. Remember aeroplanes before lockdown? Actually, my wife, Jackie and I, we were in the middle of lockdown. We had a box of tissues out because we were meant to be in Fiji on an adults-only island for a whole week. So, yeah. Can you feel the pain of that? Oh, man. That's just brutal, eh? Absolutely brutal. But when you go on an aeroplane, and there's also that the thing when you're on an aeroplane, you love to get on the window seat. Who likes the aisle seat? You, man, you're weird. Excuse me, my belt's coming pumped in. I like the window seat because you get to have a way better view, eh? And you get to see what's happening. And I was thinking about, I actually don't enjoy when I talk about things that happened 20 years ago, because I'm old enough now to say significant things happened when I was 20 years ago. So 20 years ago, I went with Colleen to Indonesia, and we went on an amazing ministry trip. And my kids and I were watching the video of it just a couple of days ago, like we were talking about before. And you know, in that missions trip, if you ever want to go on a missions trip with Colleen, you just never know what is going to happen. But I came back from that ministry trip, and I literally, without a word of exaggeration, I had a tiger sitting on my lap, a fully grown tiger sitting on my lap in a zoo in Jakarta. I also had a baby white tiger, one of the rarest tigers in the world. We had a cheetah on my lap. And I'm not kidding. My kids watched the video. I had a snake around my neck at one stage. And it was all right. I wasn't trying to, one of the friendly ones. It wasn't going to bite me. And I also had an orangutan sit on my lap and cuddle me. And my kids, can you imagine the dad points I got when we showed that video? They were like, "Dad, you are so amazing." I was like, "Yeah. Did you not know?" But one of the amazing memories, I can remember flying into Jakarta City and just having come, Christchurch, a city of probably 300,000 back then or whatever it was, into a city of, I think, 12 million. Something just incredible. And that's the people they knew about. And just looking down at the harbour, and there was like all these boats waiting to get into the harbour. And it was like someone had picked up a handful of a million matches and just dropped them. And there was just all these boats waiting to get into the harbour. So it's amazing what you can see looking out the window of an aeroplane. But if you're sitting in the window seat, one of the things that you can get to see, and it's depending on where you sit, you can actually get to see the wing of the aeroplane as well. And if you watch during the plane flight, that wing actually does something that you probably wouldn't expect it to do if you didn't know about how, or not that I know lots, but if you didn't know how aeroplanes work, it might be a wee bit surprising. Because if you watch that wing, I mean, there's the bits and pieces that move up and down according to when it's landing and when it's flying, but the wing actually wobbles or flexes continually through the flight, which is actually, for some people, could actually be a wee bit unnerving because the aeroplane wing is kind of flexing and you kind of imagine that planes were rigid and flew, were quite strong, but this plane wing actually flexes the whole time it's in the flight, and especially if it hits a thing called turbulence. Now, I actually personally quite enjoy the turbulence in an aeroplane. I actually think it's kind of fun because I've kind of got this thing that I know I'm not going to die because I've got a plan and a purpose for my life that God's given me, so I don't think I'm going down in the aeroplane. But it's kind of like a little wee free ride. It's quite bumpy. I actually quite enjoy it. Some people I know don't. And that's all right. You don't have to enjoy it. But the thing is that plane is actually designed to handle the turbulence. And that wing is actually designed to flex. So there's people who understand how aerodynamics work, and they have designed that aeroplane and the wing on the aeroplane so it actually moves with the turbulence. So the plane is designed to handle the turbulence, and the turbulence that plane experiences doesn't break the plane. And that's quite amazing. It's pretty cool. So some very clever people worked out how to make the plane so it doesn't break with turbulence. And I was thinking about 2020 so far. I think 2020 has been a very turbulent year in many ways. And can anyone relate to that? Oh, yes, it has been. It's been an incredibly turbulent year with stuff happening that we never would have guessed. Imagine how turbulent a guy called Todd Muller has found this year. Man, what? A week ago, if you'd said to me that the National Party will be led by Judith Collins, you would have gone, no, that's never going to happen. Man, we have had a crazy, crazy year. So my question for you is, how has the turbulence of this year affected you and your life this year? What has it created inside your life? Has it created anxieties? Has it created uncertainties? Has it created fears? All of those things, you know, probably a lot of us can relate to. But I really want to encourage you this morning. I want to really encourage us that, and encourage myself as well. In some ways, I wish I was sitting on the front row, and I'm sitting on the front row, and I'm speaking to myself, encouraging myself with this. But I'd want to encourage you that God has designed you to live through the turbulence of the time that we're living in. And do you know what? The turbulence is not going to break you. What we're going through this year is not going to break you. And do you know why I can stand there and say that? I can stand here and say that because I believe that God has a word over your life. Because God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and the word of the Lord endures forever. Do you know, nothing is going to be able to break or shake the word of God that is upon your life, upon our life as a church. The word of God is true, and the word of God is not going to be shaken by what we've experienced in 2020. I believe that you and I, we are born for such a time as this. Esther 4:14, it says, basically Esther is getting encouraged by her uncle. He says, who knows that you have not come to royalty for such a time as this? And I believe we're royal people because of being in the family of God. And we have come to royalty for such a time as this. And in Psalm 139, basically, it says that all the days ordained for us are written in the book. God knows the days that we are going to be living in. Do you know that everything that has happened in 2020 might have surprised you and me, but it has not surprised God. It hasn't taken him by surprise where he's sitting, considering our lives and scratching his head going, what am I going to do about it? What has happened? We might be doing that, but you know what? Nothing has happened this year that has taken our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Daddy by surprise. He knows exactly what's happening. And do you know what? He even knew that you and I were going to be here when 2020 happened. So it's not like, you know, it's not like there was some random lottery in heaven and your number just happened to come up so you are alive through 2020. There is a really distinct plan and purpose that God has for your life that means he wants you to be here right now for this time. Because he has a plan and a purpose for our lives in this time. So do you know what? You right now, you're bang on time. You're bang on where you're meant to be. God, you are right in the fullness of God's plan. Right in the fullness of where he wants you right now. My daughter Eden, she was here in the first service, and she loves reading those books. What is it? Anne of Green Gables. And she, does anyone else like those books? Yeah, mainly the ladies. Just saying. Maybe it's not the best movie for guys or anything like that. But Eden loves reading those books, and she gets caught up in the romanticism on it, and I can just see how she gets absorbed in those books. And sometimes she said to me, Dad, I wish I was alive back in those days. Because, I get to wear those dresses. And she's seen the dresses that they wear and just the way they talk. And she's got this lovely romantic picture about what it would have been like to live in the days of Anne of Green Gables. And good on her. I don't want to take that away from her. It's really, really cool. But do you know what? Sometimes we might wish, I wish I had lived. I wish I was alive in another era. And, you know, maybe I wish that I was alive and not in a different time, so I didn't have to go through what we've gone through. And who knows what else we're going to go through. Because it's been a very interesting year. But you know that God has designed you, your life, to be alive right now in this time. You're on time, you're in the right place, and God has got a plan and a purpose for you to thrive, not just survive, to thrive even in the turbulence that you may have felt in 2020. You know, and what has the turbulence been? You know, it's been political. It's been, there's economic turbulence. There's environmental turbulence, social turbulence. But you know what? I think this is really interesting. God could have chosen so many people to be alive right now. Why didn't God choose? I think, what, God, why didn't you choose Isaiah the prophet? You know, he was a powerful prophet. And if you've ever read Isaiah, his book, Isaiah, the book that is written from his prophecies, it's an amazing book. But you know what? God didn't want Isaiah the prophet alive in 2020. He wanted you. He wanted you to be alive for this day, for the purpose of this day, for his purposes in this day. And you know, he could have arranged it that the Apostle Paul, the guy that wrote quite a bit of this, quite a bit of that book, he could have been here. And imagine if we looked around and thought, oh, imagine if the Apostle Paul could have been here. Imagine if he could have been alive in this day. He would have known what to have done. But do you know what? God has arranged it that he's actually done his time. He had a course for back in the first century church that maybe he actually wasn't equipped for 2020 like you and I have been equipped for 2020. Maybe he might not have, he just wasn't built for it. I believe you and I are built for this day, for this time. Maybe Solomon, you know, with all his wisdom, maybe he would have been better. No, we are meant to be here right now for this time, and God has got a purpose on our lives to fulfill. God is not surprised by what's happened, and he's not surprised that you are here going through this time. He wants you here. And hopefully that's an encouragement to you. All the days ordained were written in a book. All the days that you are going to go through have been ordained by God, which is pretty amazing. He knows what we need. He's equipped us. He's resourced us for everything that we're going to go through. And sometimes I think in a time like we've gone through, we just need to be so grounded in God's word. And I don't mean we have to get really, I mean, it's great to study the word, but sometimes we need the simplicity of the word of God. We need the simplicity of a verse like Jeremiah 29:11 just to hang on to at this time. We need to know that God says, I have a plan for your life. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Sometimes we just need the simplicity of the word of God. And you know what? I would have to say and put my hand up that since COVID, since the lockdown, all that sort of stuff that's been happening, I've had to maybe re-look at how I hang on to the word of God and how I've been relating to the word of God. So I've actually read the word like I haven't before the lockdown. And maybe some of you might say, yeah, me too. Because I think I've probably needed it in a way. I probably needed it before, but I've needed to hang on to it in a way that I possibly didn't feel like I needed before that. So, you know, there's always some good things that come out of it, and I believe that's something that God is encouraging you. Are you hanging on to his word? Have you got something that you're hanging on to rather than just seeing your circumstances? I just want to tell you about a moment that I had when we were going into lockdown. Now, I run a business, and I've got an office in Addington. So I had the joy of having to relocate my office from Addington to our house in Hamilton. Did anyone else have to relocate an office and set up a whole thing that you had somewhere else into your house? I saw one hand up. Another one, yes. Oh, I'm glad it wasn't just me that had the pain. But I tell you what, I did not enjoy it. It was actually really difficult to work out how was I going to make everything that happened here happen over here. And so do you know what we did? We got my drawing board, my computer desk, and all that sort of stuff, and we brought it back home, and we jammed it into our bedroom. So we called it the bedroom office. We called it the boffice. So the standing joke through lockdown was, Dad's in the boffice because it was the bedroom office. So we had everything, the bed was pushed against the wall, because you just got to do what you got to do. And I did not enjoy it, okay? It was actually really annoying and really frustrating, but you had to do what you had to do, and that's my little rant, okay? But as I was shifting out of my office in Addington, I've got this big window. There's actually two sets of windows in my office, and I've got this one big window that looks out over the old Mill Theatre, which is a lovely red brick building. And because it's north-facing, man, it gets a lot of sun, and it's really, really bright. So we have to have a screen that I pull down that still lets light through, but it just obscures the light, so it's not so bright. And I remember having this moment, and there was actually a bit of emotion around this moment. And I remember looking out that window, but it had the screen pulled down because I was shutting up so that everything was safe over lockdown. And I was getting my files out and thinking, how am I going to get all this home? Where am I going to fit it all? But anyway, I had this moment. I thought, you know, God, I just can't see beyond this circumstance we're in right now. I can't see. And it was like I was standing looking at the screen, and the screen was obscuring my vision out to what I could normally see when the screen was up. But there was this obscurity. And I said, God, you know, and it was like almost like a prophetic picture to myself. I was saying, God, I can't see what's beyond. Is there a future? Is there hope beyond this? Is this really happening? Is this actually happening? Are we really stopping everything for this thing, for that? And that's, you know, this is the way it was. But I really felt like God said, I just felt the kindness of God just saying to me, I'm not sure if he said exact words, but this is what communicated to me. You might feel like you can't see, but I can see beyond that. There's clarity. God sees clarity where I saw the obscurity. And God had a clear vision for the future beyond what I saw in that moment. And then there's a few emotions when that came as well. God can see clearly for our future. And we might sometimes, the circumstances we go through might produce a bit of obscurity and some questioning, but God sees clearly beyond it all. And I just want to read you a whole chapter where I've been parked. Do you know what I mean by that? I've been parked in a chapter of the Bible. When I've been reading, I just can't get beyond Psalm 33. So I thought, I'm going to start reading Psalms in lockdown. And I got to Psalm 33, and I've been parked in Psalm 33 probably ever since. And I want to read you this because I reckon there's something in here that if you've felt that turbulence and that uncertainty, maybe a bit of anxiety or even fear, whatever it is that you've felt that is uncomfortable and you wish you weren't feeling that. Do you know what I mean by that? Sometimes you wish you weren't feeling something. Well, I just want to read you something from, I want to read you Psalm 33. And I believe there's hope, there's strength, and there's a bit of realigning in Psalm 33. So I just want to read it to you. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The word of the Lord in our lives is right and true. Some of you may have had a word over your life, and you've thought, how is that word going to come to pass because of the circumstance on the earth right now? You think, how am I going to preach to the nations? How am I going to go to the nations? The word of the Lord is right and true. We might not be able to work out how's that all going to happen, but the word of the Lord over your life is right and it is true. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. Who would love to see? The Lord loves justice on the earth. And man, do we need justice on the earth? Look at what's happening in some nations around the world. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Everything that's happening is here was by his word. Nothing that we see around us was formed apart from his word. And then it goes on to say, he gathers the water of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to being. He commanded it and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. And in lockdown, I watched some YouTube clips. I watched probably too many that talked about maybe what some agendas that might be happening in the world at this time politically. And I tell you what, I scared myself. I don't know if any of you scared yourself by watching too many YouTube videos of what may or may not or may be happening. I don't know. But I tell you what, you can scare yourself by just exposing yourself to too much stuff. But we need to realign ourselves. I needed to realign myself back to the word of God, which says, for he spoke and it came to being. He commanded it and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. And I just said a little bit, the Lord foils the plans of the United Nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. People may have plans, but if they're not his plans, the Lord thwarts the purposes of the peoples. Verse 11, but the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. It doesn't, there's no little asterisk to exclude our generation. Let's read verse 11 again. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. His plan over your life, his plan over our lives, his plan corporately, his plan over our nation, his plans for the nations. His plans stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. Wow, isn't this incredible? No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. Our horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. And we know the only one that can save is the Lord. Do you know what? Politically, wow, what an interesting week we've just had. But do you know what? The Labour Party isn't the saving of New Zealand. The National Party is not the saving of New Zealand. The ACT Party is not the saving of New Zealand. And the New Zealand Public Party is not the saving of New Zealand. It's the word of the Lord. It's our God. He is our salvation. And I'm not saying that Christians shouldn't be involved in politics. Well, well, don't get me wrong there. Maybe we have actually stepped away from something that we should have been involved in, and maybe we're paying the price for that. I don't know. But maybe there's a day coming when the people of God will actually take a right place in politics as well. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe that's really interesting, isn't it? But anyway, let's keep going. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We all wait in hope for the Lord, for he is our help and our shield. In him our hearts trust, sorry, and our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest on us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Even as we put our hope in you. And I don't know, maybe there's an encouragement in Psalm 33 for you this morning. Maybe you need to park up in Psalm 33 as well. I'm still encouraging myself and reading that and declaring that and believing that for my life. And just building up our faith, building up our faith. Wow, I reckon there's some amazing stuff. Verse 11, but the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. Do you want to stand up? I just want to pray for us all as we finish. Lord, we're just, this year has taken us by, or to a certain degree, it's probably taken most of us by surprise. Lord, the circumstances we've found in, and Lord, we've found ourselves in a time of turbulence, a time of turbulence. And Lord, we just ask that you would help us ground ourselves in your word in this moment, in the days ahead. Lord, we just ask that we'd be so grounded in your word, that your word would literally become part of us, that we'd imbibe ourselves of your word. Lord, that your word would become flesh in us, alive inside of us. And Father God, we look to you as our great hope. Lord, we declare you are our great hope. And we thank you, Lord, that verse 11 in Psalm 30 decree declares that your plans stand firm forever. And we thank you for your purposes, the purposes of your heart, for our generation. And Lord, we declare those purposes to come to pass in Jesus' name. We declare your purposes in our generation. Lord, no matter what the circumstances are around us, and Lord, we ask you to show us what our part is, what part we are to play. And Lord, we ask that you would just, that our faith would rise in our purpose, in the plan that you have for us in this day. In Jesus' name. So as you experience turbulence in the days that we're living in, and maybe in the days to come, because I don't know what's coming, we do see darkly. We do see in a dark glass darkly. But man, I just want to encourage you that the purposes of the Lord in your life and our lives are going to stand firm. And I just wanted to make an invitation as well. Maybe you need to know this God, this Father, that has a purpose for your life. And you'd like to get to know him this morning. We'd love to introduce you to the God that made you, that has a plan for your life, and the God that wants to bring peace into your life. Is there anyone that would love to be introduced? to that loving Heavenly Father right now. Anyone who's not in relationship with Him, or maybe who's away from Him and wants to come back into relationship and to know Him as your Father. A loving Father who cares for you and who wants to bring peace into your life no matter what you're going through. If there's anyone online, we just encourage you to reach out right now. And we invite you to reach out and ask God into your life. Ask Him to come into your life. Lord, if there's anyone online right now that's reaching out, we just thank you, Lord, that they're responding to you. Lord, they're responding to you and asking you into their life. Lord, they're seeking relationship. We thank you for that relationship that you want to create with them, that you want to invite them into. Lord, and if you want to do that online, we just encourage you to write in the comments that you want to do that, and we'll just connect with you. And we want to help you on that journey. So people, as you go this week, man, be blessed. As Wes would say, have a great life. But man, I really encourage you, make sure that you're grounding yourself in the simple word of God in this time. So have a great week. And we'll see you next week. Awesome.